Brilliance Audio presents St. Christopher and the Gravedigger by Catherine Cookson. Performed by Derek Perkins. The crossroads were under repair, and a big red board proclaiming, "Danger, roadworks ahead," brought the cortege to a halt. The cars following the hearse drew close together and waited in dark solemnity until six other cars, in colours varying from red to pale primrose, were waved on their careless, heedless way, with never a thought for the poor swine lying there. So was the private comment of Broderick McNally as he stopped his drill in deference to the dead. He showed this deference by standing with head bowed and one hand palm outward behind his back, while the other supported his machine. With the signal to go, the funeral procession wended its way tentatively past Mr. McNally on the narrow piece of road he had left them, and not until they had gathered speed, as if in a hurry to reach their destination, did Broderick speak.
"There goes another one for Gascoigne to shovel the muck on. Oh, it's happy he'll be the day," he remarked caustically.
The man at his side, leaning on his shovel, laughed and said,
"You don't like Gascoigne, Broderick?"
"It isn't that I don't like him," said Broderick, bringing his drill between his feet again. "But some way or another, I seem to get under the man's skin and sour him. That's not saying we haven't been good neighbours for the past 16 years. Though, mind, he'd have me out of me house if he could the morrow, the pig-headed old swine, and all on account of me nationality. Aye, would you believe it? And his old mother's worse than him, if that's at all possible. But, mind, for the rest of the family, you couldn't find a nicer."
A grin spread over Broderick's large, flat, red countenance, and, bending forward, he whispered,
"And I'll tell you something."
His lips went close to the other man's ear, and the effect of the words pouring into them caused the man's eyes to stretch.
"You don't say," he exclaimed. "I do."
"Well, I'd like to see the end of that."
"You will, please God and his holy mother."
Broderick nodded once before pressing a lever, and the noise that followed only allowed the two men to smile at each other by way of communication. The repair of the crossroads between Battenbun and Downfell Hurst on one road, and Biddle Swiddle and Befumstead on the other, was once more under way. Downfell Hurst Cemetery supplied the needs of the four villages, and was commonly referred to as Fell Bottom, because that was where it was placed geographically, clustering at the foot of a fell. In attendance at the burials in the cemetery, there would be either of two reverends, the Reverend Collins, who ministered to Battenbun and Biddle Swiddle, or the Reverend Bailey, who ministered to Downfell Hurst and Befumstead. Then there was Father Stuckley, who saw to the passing over of the scattered Catholic fraternity, and a Mr. Hope, who was also a reverend, but no one used his title because he saw only to the laying aside of, as the gravedigger John Gascoigne summarised them, "the neither one thing or t'others." But whatever their denomination, the dead were the dead, and were all the same to John, or at least they had been up till this last month or so. Before that, he had thrown the dirt onto them with the comment, and this to himself, that such was life, or, when feeling very talkative inside, he might add, "when their numbers called, even the deaf hear." But this was before he had witnessed the accident at the crossroads. He had heard the screams as far away as the back cemetery gate, and when he had reached the scene, it was to see a woman running around half-demented and splashed all over with blood, and two cars, looking like one, so closely were they tangled, with a dead man lying in the middle of them. The only things that were left whole from either car were two dangling effigies. The 3-inch figures, identical in pattern, stared at each other from their scaffold of tortured iron, and the sight of them had raised a comment in John's mind. "All this mess," he had thought, "and them never touched." That was John's first acquaintance with St. Christopher.